This is Pastoring Out Loud, a podcast for South Cities Church in Lakeville, Minnesota. Learn more at southcities.church. Let me set the scene for you all. You are 18. You are driving alone in the vehicle of your choice. No, not the vehicle of your choice, like a real-to-life instance of the vehicle you had when you were 18. And or the vehicle you drove when you were 18.
1985 Cutlass.
You are completely alone. It is 9 p.m. You are driving someplace where there are no people around. The windows are down. What album are you playing?
18?
Yes.
Ooh.
What album are you playing?
Pass.
No, no.
No.
You have to do it.
This can be
pre-Christ and it'll be okay. Jesus covers all of those poor choices, Dave.
Mine is actually a mix CD.
Oh.
Did you make all right, it for your, Star
did,
Lord.
Did you make it for yourself?
I did.
A self-made mixtape?
Yep. You were mixed CD, though.
Yeah,
I was mixed tape.
Yeah.
Oh.
It had Vertical Horizon older on than it, you. Macy Gray on it,
oh, okay.
Third Eye Blind on it, and Limp Bizkit.
Wow.
That's a stretch. Dave.
Hmm.
Some pretty outlandish rap music, or maybe NSYNC.
Or NSYNC.
Mm-hmm.
Was it Nelly?
Nelly would have been on there.
Nelly
yeah,
would have been in the.
I'm trying to think of who else it was. Nelly, I mean, I think like Ludacris was popular then.
Oh yeah, that's true. It's true.
What'd you say?
Usher.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Stacey.
Yeah. Okay, stop. Stacey.
I don't have like an album.
Okay, just a song. Then,
no, I mean, so in high school, I actually went through a country music phase.
That's okay. Oh. That's allowed. That's okay.
I'm so happy. That's the question. You did.
I did.
How do people do that?
I don't know, but I think one of my friends did.
Country music.
Hey, it's fine.
Yeah, it is fine.
It is fine.
So come to the peer
pressure. I just wanted to meet someone that went through just a stage of it and then came out.
Well, I don't really listen to it now.
To Rascal Flatts.
This is before. Come on, I'm older than you.
Like, don't take the girl.
What?
Oh, yeah.
Just quiet for a second, Nick. Go
I don't know. Faith Hill, Garth Brooks, Shania Twain. Come on. I mean,
I've got friends in low places. So not like
I saw Garth in
not
concert.
Like, oh, did you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's one of the most popular artists of all time.
I know. How can you not see him?
I guarantee you there's someone that's listening to the podcast that knows the country song Don't Take the Girl.
You know, if you are a listener to the podcast and you know the song Don't Take the Girl, I invite you to send me an email, daniel@southcities.church, and no, this cannot be after you've listened to it on Apple Music.
Right.
It's by Tim McGraw. It was really popular.
Tim McGraw's still popular. Like, that's okay. So you should email me. I've got a free book for you.
It wasn't an album. It was like country music radio. That's what I listened to.
Oh. Music radio. Okay. All right, good times. 20.
What about you?
Countdown Magazine.
What about you?
What?
Yeah, you.
You answered the question.
Oh, sure. At 18, probably a Breaking Benjamin or Linkin Park's original album, Hybrid Theory.
Okay.
Probably.
Respect.
I was angsty and a new Christian, and I let out my anger in the
car. You were a Christian.
I was a Christian.
Okay,
a new
me
Christian.
Too.
Yeah. And that, you know, if you listen to Breaking Benjamin or Linkin Park,
amateur,
you know,
Christian,
it's fine.
Deeply Christian over here.
It's not a big deal. I mean, Chester Bennington, who's now passed on, had an incredible voice.
Yeah.
He and Mike Shenandoah, who was the rapper, they were an effective duo, and the music was really compelling and, yes, incredibly angsty.
Yeah.
So. But we're not here to talk about the top hits of 18-year-olds.
We're here to talk about how Blink 182 rages. Oh. We're here to talk about
all the small things, which is where we're at in chapter 6 of how
you set him up and he just walked right past it.
He walked right past it. It's disappointing when that happens.
I'm sorry. Do you want to say your own punchline?
No, it's fine. Moments passed.
It's fine.
I've forgotten about.
That's also the name of a country song. So...
Probably.
Now we're going to settle in this moment on chapter 6 of When the Nations Rage Against the Machine. That was another band. So chapter 6 is about churches not political lobbying organizations, but embassies. Is that the subtitle?
Yeah.
Yeah. But I wasn't in the Sunday school, and I've never read this chapter before in my life. Therefore, you're going to help me as I ask you some questions about this. So what's this chapter about, those of you that were in Sunday school?
Well, the chapter title, I also find
were it, all three of you in there?
Yeah, we were in there.
Okay.
I also find it really hard to believe you've never read this chapter. But anyways.
I'm just saying, say for instance, hypothetically.
Sure. Chapter 6 is the church, not a lobbying organization, but embassies of heaven. So that's what we talked about. What does that mean? Like, what is the role of the church?
Yeah.
What authority does the church have?
Yeah,
we started off with that.
The jurisdiction of the church, which is to represent the rule and reign of the kingdom of God on earth, like an embassy does in a foreign country.
So we talked about a church having the ability to authorize or affirm the what and who of the gospel. The what of the gospel being making sure that the gospel message is faithfully proclaimed, both corporately and individually. So it's our job to, you know, it's the job of the members of South Cities Church, for example, to make sure that we're preaching a faithful gospel every week, and also to make sure that we're doing that in our personal lives with one another. And then the who of the gospel, it's our job to both affirm, that we really do belong to the kingdom of God, and we do that here through membership. Say, yeah, we believe you belong to the kingdom of God, that you trust the gospel. And then also to, I mean, sadly, but also importantly, when we can no longer affirm that someone is walking with Jesus and belongs to the kingdom of God because of, you know, hard, unrepentant, long-term sin, or because of, you know, heretical, I guess, doctrine that they've fallen into and believe, to then disaffirm that, and that would be what, you know, we look at as church discipline or excommunication.
Right.
So we just talked about how that's really the scope of authority of the church. And really the goal of that is to make sure that heaven, the kingdom of God, is rightly represented on earth, which kind of sets the tone for the next chapter that's coming up that talks about us as ambassadors. So if we're going to be faithful ambassadors, we got to make sure that the what and who of the gospel is protected, affirmed, and then disaffirmed when it's not happening. So, and that's really in contrast to what, you know, like the role of the government.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Which is still a legitimate role.
Yeah, for sure.
Just different.
Different right. Sphere of authority.
Yeah.
Right.
Or I think what Lehman says earlier in the book is they have authority over the same things, but about different things. So the authority over the same subjects, but about different things. Right. Yeah. Something like that. But I haven't read this book. So any other nuanced things you'd say from this chapter?
Stop saying that. People are going to believe you.
That I've never read it. Uh-huh. I'm just saying that hypothetically, talk to me like I haven't.
So he talks about if that's kind of the sphere of authority of a church. He talks about, you know, how should a church be political, and should it be a political threat? So he talks in those categories. And the answer to both is yes, in a certain way. So a church is, I really appreciate this chapter because he talks about you really can't say you care about politics as a Christian if you're not an active member in your local church. And so he talks about, you know, how it's easy to have all these views on all these political issues, but what's harder is to actually walk with people in your church and actually live out these issues personified, or disagree and figure out how to find common ground as you seek wisdom in the church. So in that way, the church is political in that it's politics. The goal of politics is to create a place for flourishing and help for people. And the church, you know, our goal is to do that for the people that belong here and through the lens of Christ. And then the way that's a political threat, I love that the way he says it. He says something like, actually, I think I have a quote here I can read. He says, churches both are and are not a political threat to civic order. Since no government is free of idols, churches preaching the gospel, right? So that's the what. Preaching the gospel will always pose some threat. Yet it's not the threat of an invader or insurrectionist. It's the threat of a virus or termite, something that quietly works on the inside and chews away at the foundations until an idol collapses along with the regime or economy sustained by that idol. And he gets that from the book of Acts, yeah, where, you know, the idolatry falls. I think that's what happened, though, even with the, you know, the fall of Rome in many ways, or the rise of Christianity in Rome. It wasn't so much that there was a bunch of violence and insurrection by the Christians. It's that they just kept loving people and kept showing the love of Christ so much that all of a sudden the gods of Rome looked flimsy and ineffectual compared to the true God. And so, you know what I mean? So I think that idea of kind of this internal spreading of the gospel kind of eats away at idolatrous foundations. So that was another part we talked about for quite a while.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Stacy, any reflections on Sunday school?
I thought it was great. It's good discussion. I like having little table discussion time before the whole group. And I got to sit with different people than I've sat with before, and it was good just to get to know them better and dialogue about these things in the church and work them out, like you said, in the context of the local church. And
were there examples or particular case studies that people talked about or you guys talked about in regards to what church is supposed to do? Maybe along those lines of just political engagement or what this means?
We did talk about how the church corporate has, you know, its main sphere of influence and its main sphere of authority that should not ordinarily directly influence policy. But I thought it was helpful. I think we had a helpful conversation about how that doesn't mean individuals can't go and be more actively involved or or less actively involved as their conscience kind of bears it out. And we've said that's a good thing. We also talked about how, you know, people say they want the church to be prophetic in this world. And we talked about how really, and Lehman talks about it too, you know, the church's political word is the gospel. I mean, really the gospel runs counter to all idolatrous other things, right? I mean, it just does. And how the church's prophetic witness is really its life together. And so just being able to, you know, and I think just to really believe that is hard.
Yeah.
But like, man, the main thing we can speak into this culture is that Jesus really came, really lived the perfect life we couldn't live, really died a death we deserved to die, really rose again to conquer death. We're united in all that with him. We have the Holy Spirit, and now we're going to live that gospel out day after day after day together as a kind of, another good book, compelling community that will show really the kingdom of God here on earth as the true way that human flourishing is meant to be made in the image of God. And, man, if we could really believe that, you know, I think it would help us focus on the main things. And then as we pursue those tangential things that are still important, that our conscience leads us to, I think we'd have a lot more grace for each other as we went about our business, and probably a lot stronger witness in the world that we live in.
It's good. Yeah, I often think about how the church started using this phrase sometime in the last, I don't know, it's probably 2012, the first time that I used the phrase in a different context, but just that the ballot box in our act as political citizens of this nation is a moral question. There are things that are important about that.
Yeah.
But it is often less weighty, or maybe always less weighty, than what broader society seems to ascribe to it.
Hmm.
So for me to go and to vote a particular way on a particular, you know, candidate or a particular issue or other things like that, and certainly in reflection of the Bible's values, hopefully God's values, is still not like the most important thing of being a citizen, either of this nation or the heavenly nation. But it's actually the regular things that we're called to do and obey. And downstream from that is the ballot box. Mm-hmm. So I don't remember if this chapter he talks, it's probably next chapter with the ambassadors. He talks more about how we're to be ambassadors of another nation, another heavenly nation here on this earthly nation. So is there anything that you guys would want to, I'm teaching, I think, this Sunday school for the first time, this book that I've never read. which will be interesting. How can you guys prepare me in any way for, you know, some good discussion that's come up, things that keep coming back to, you know, things that seem to be good and fruitful and maybe I should prep for? Anything come to mind?
You just do you, man.
It's so outside my comfort zone, Nick.
One thing that's come up a few times is people have talked about in regards, I'm just thinking of what you're saying about voting and the issues and how do we operate as a church or as Christians. Several times people have said something like, you know, if I just got to vote on every issue, it would actually be simpler
instead of voting on
a person who represents.
If I was able to separate out every issue and I had a direct access to legislature or policy instead of a representative democracy.
If every election was just a list of referendums.
Yep.
You know.
Yeah. And so I think the effect that's had is it has been helpful to think through, oh, yeah, that does make it a little bit more complex.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully we can be charitable with each other in the way that we're processing through all those things. And I think also just thinking through, I think just continually thinking through, okay, we kind of get the authority the church has but it just feels to me like in the class there's just still times where people are like, but we want the church to do more. You know what I mean? Like, and I think that what I feel is say more directly about the election or about the referendums that pass that I don't like, or you know what I mean? Like that kind of, I think I still feel that sometimes and I think that's okay. I think it's a good place to wrestle. Like how do we address things that the world says are good that we know are evil and will harm people? You know, how do we do that as a church? How directly should we do that? How mm-hmm. when's the right time and place? What's the paradigm that we have for how to do that? So I think that kind of keeps kind of coming up against it from different angles as we're figuring it out, which is good.
I'm looking forward to it. And I think, how many more chapters are there after this one? One more? I think there's 8 chapters.
I think there's 9 for some reason, but I'm not sure.
So we'll be doing this for a few more weeks before we switch it up sometime in May.
There's 8 chapters and then a really brief conclusion called Final Thoughts.
I can spend a whole Sunday school, though, on Final Thoughts.
No, I don't think so.
You're going to have your own Final Thoughts on the final week of Sunday school, which is probably Chapter 8. Is that right?
I'm not sure what you just said.
Oh, you know what? This will come out after Sunday, right? Or does it come out? People said they would be helped by knowing what chapter we're discussing before the Sunday. But I guess we only have a couple left.
It's true. All right. Well, grace to us as we continue to walk through this book. Looking forward to teaching here this Sunday.